Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and thanks so much for joining me. You're listening to Dr. Fred. I've got another article today, and I've kind of titled it, As in the Days of Jeremiah. Well, as usual, at the top of the transcript included in this audio recording, I've got more links for your research, and also, as usual, the inclusion of these links does not imply a tacit acceptance of everything stated or the author stated in them, so bear that in mind. Use discernment. Use these for your continued research. There's quite a number of them there, and hopefully that'll help with whatever it is you're trying to research that's going on in the world today. Well, in today's world, we often judge the success or failure of a ministry by the number of people attached to it, don't we? And the level of excitement. Traveling evangelists will go from church to church, and their goal, a good one, is to bring people to the Lord, of course. Well, this can be done simply by preaching the word and letting God's word fall where it might, or it can involve a number of pointed guilt cue attacks on the people gathered to hear the message, often guilting them out of hell and into heaven. And this was Charles Finney's MO and many other evangelists of his day. And it seems that it still continues today, to some degree at least. Well, I've heard both. But truly, today's evangelist will often cite the number of people that he says are saved at one of his evangelistic services as proof that God is working through him. What else does that evangelist have if they don't have numbers, right? And they, of course, base this on the number of people who recite the repentant prayer or the sinner's prayer, whatever you'd like to call it. Yet when we consider many of the prophets of the Old Testament, we would have a very difficult time classifying them as successful in ministry because the numbers were just not there, unlike many of today's evangelists. The pressure to see people converted is often the hinge upon which many ministries work under, and because of it, people tend to think that repeating the sinner's prayer or the prayer of repentance is the way to get into heaven. And hearing a person repeat after me is the doorway to heaven. But saying a few words is not the magic formula it appears to be, though. Yet too many people stick with it. To come to know the Lord actually requires dialogue, insight, questions and answers, and ultimately true repentance on the part of the sinner coming to the Lord. Now, I may have mentioned this in the past, but I have a relative who's an alcoholic, though, of course, he denies it. He says he's fine. He's been in rehab 3 separate occasions, and while they all worked to an extent and for a short while, nothing really took permanently. Today, he drinks like a fish. And unfortunately, he cannot function without hard liquor in his system. Well, this person, by the way, is also convinced that he's saved. He believes this because years ago, when he was very young, he prayed the sinner's prayer. That is often seen, as I mentioned, as a magical formula for entering the kingdom of heaven. There's absolutely nothing about his life, though, that changed for the better since saying the sinner's prayer. So please pray for him. Thank you. I'm not going to give you his name. It doesn't even matter. The Lord knows who he is. But if you'll just continue to lift him up, that would be wonderful. Time and time again in the New Testament, a person became saved when the realization dawned on them that they needed someone outside of themselves to save them because their own merit wasn't good enough. And in fact, their own sin, they realized, was their major downfall, placing them, like all of us individually, on the road to hell. This is where we start off in life. That realization opened their eyes to the truth that Jesus is who he claimed and claims to be. They literally saw and realized the truth about themselves and their need for Jesus, and they embraced him spiritually through repentance. They then began to follow him in obedience. You know, as Christians, and I'm talking about authentic Christians here, not professing ones, I'm talking about authentic, real, dyed-in-the-wool, honest Christians. We are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. It is a process that we call sanctification, and it will continue throughout this life and culminate in the next. So, realistically, our Christian experience, our lives, should be getting better and better as we go through this life. Now, we're going to have our downfalls. We're going to slip and stumble from time to time. But overall, you should be able to look at your life now and recognize that you are closer to Christ and you are more obedient to Him, and you have a greater fear of offending Him than you did yesterday or 3 months ago or last year. But if we consider the book of Jeremiah, we see a man called by God to be God's mouthpiece to that generation of Israelites. And by today's standards, that man Jeremiah was not successful in the least, was he? If we look solely at numbers of those converted after hearing his many messages from God to them. In human terms, Jeremiah was a failure, because no one in Israel was moved by the prophet's words to even want to repent. We will learn, as we go through this series on Jeremiah, that not only did they reject out of hand Jeremiah's messages from God due to the hardness of their heart and abject rebellion, but they actually wanted to kill the prophet and tried to do so. Now, Jeremiah experienced doubts, frustrations, and beatings, physical beatings, all because God called him into service to be a prophet and to share God's truth. There were times, as we're going to see in upcoming broadcasts, that Jeremiah wanted to keep silent, but he couldn't because God's words burned so passionately within him. There were times Jeremiah questioned God. What was God doing? What were the outcomes of what God was doing be? Why did God choose Jeremiah to deliver these messages that really no one wanted to hear? However, Jeremiah, though a failure by all human standards, was nowhere near a failure as far as God is concerned. Jeremiah remained true to God and God's message in spite of how the prophet was treated by Israel. That's success. That is success. Jeremiah, I can't imagine, he must have felt terribly alone. And I sometimes feel like that. Maybe you do too, more and more in this current day and age where it appears Satan has been given the go-ahead to bring down this final world into a global kingdom. And there are so many things that are being done to undermine God and attack Christians throughout the world that it is very difficult to keep track of it all. We're going to be talking about some of these things in upcoming episodes. It is making life very difficult for many of us authentic Christians. And it wouldn't surprise me to see home churches take the place of established churches in coming days, or at least as an adjunct. Christians need each other. We need the fellowship. During the first century, what did Christians do when it was outlawed to be a Christian? They met in secret places in the tombs, catacombs, to avoid Rome's search. Christians, especially in America, though, we don't like difficulties, do we? We want smooth sailing. We want God to answer all of our prayers with a resounding yes. We want to grow in our relationship with God so that our bond with Him will become greater and our desire to sin will become less. But isn't it true that we are often unwilling to go through the difficulties that God sends or allows in life as a refining vehicle? We need to remind ourselves what saints of old went through. Jesus says, guarantees that we are going to have troubles, trials, and tribulations in this world. John 16:33. Difficulties that do come our way, whatever they are, job, money, relationship issues, etc., are designed to make us stronger, by causing us to lean on Him, stronger in exercising our faith in God. We must learn to take the good with the bad, which is why Paul says that in every situation we should praise the Lord in earnest, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. There is something God is trying to teach and accomplish in every situation that comes our way. Now, the book of Jeremiah is filled with unique offerings. And these things are not in other books of God's words. And by way of introduction to the book of Jeremiah, let me point out a few things that I find interesting. Well, first of all, some have cataloged this book as the most spiritual, second only to the Psalms. Someone has said, so far as we have a data for judgment, Jeremiah was the healthiest, youngest, bravest, grandest man of the Old Testament history, unquote. And here's another quote. There is nothing in all scripture so eloquent of love and sorrow and consolation as the 31st and the 33rd chapters of Jeremiah. No words can be found in any language of such touching beauty. Touching beauty. You know, what many to most of us see in the book of Jeremiah is not beauty, but sorrow. And I have an idea that that's why many of us, we avoid reading that book and others like it. We see God's constant warnings of judgment, his throwing up of his hands at the nation of Israel, and the turning his back on them and not hearing their prayers. Yet, to dig deep within the pages of Jeremiah, we do find a sense of beauty and promise as we learn that God did cast Israel off, delivering them to the terror of a northern nation, Babylon. But this same God will one day bring absolute peace to the nation, made up of completely different generation of Israelites. And that's going to finalize in the millennial kingdom after the coming tribulation. Well, the book of Jeremiah is filled with remonstrance, anger, and promises of judgment, but it is also filled with the promise of future reconciliation and perfect peace with God, the Creator of Israel. It is easy to forget that this latter reality, because so much of the book focuses on what no one likes to experience, God's judgment, is still coming. No authentic Christian will ever experience God's wrath, just as Jeremiah did not. Now, a few facts about Jeremiah before we wrap this particular episode up. Jeremiah was a priest by birth in the sense that he was born into a priestly household, Jeremiah 1:1. He was eventually called by the Lord to what became his prophetic ministry to Israel at a very early age of just 21. Upon hearing God's call, the young man tried to get out of it by pointing out his youth, his inexperience, and the fact that he didn't believe he was a good speaker. Jeremiah 1:6. God responded by confirming to Jeremiah that he knew Jeremiah before he was born and had called him for this purpose. He was then given divine ability to do what God called him to do. God calls and always empowers an individual to do what that person is called to do. Jeremiah's message, he quickly learned, was not a crowd-pleasing message. Can you imagine having to tell people what they don't want to hear? In fact, it was a very solemn and terrifying message which caused much sorrow in Jeremiah's heart because of the weight of that message. And because of what God called Jeremiah to do, Satan wasted no time in attempting to bring the prophet down. His own family, Jeremiah 12:6, the men of his own town, Jeremiah 11:18, all conspired against him. I'm sure they felt what they were doing and intending was correct, but clearly it was not. It was anti-God. Moreover, the people of Jerusalem conspired against the prophet, Jeremiah 18:18. He was beaten and put in stocks, Jeremiah 20:1-3. And after a release of that, he was set up and almost lost his life, Jeremiah 26. Now, as if this was not all enough, he was thrown into prison several times, Jeremiah 37:11-15 and chapter 38. Now, after the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon, king of Nebuchadnezzar, he released Jeremiah. For a time, he assisted the new governor, Jeremiah did, who was eventually assassinated, forcing him against his will to flee with refugees to Egypt. And it was there he met his death by stoning. Jeremiah's ministry lasted 40 years. 40 years of telling the people of Israel what they didn't want to hear. Though he was empowered by God for his particular ministry, he suffered greatly. Still, through that suffering, he grew in love and obedience and devotion to the Lord. Jeremiah has some very unique and interesting things to say. And some of it applies to us by way of application living today? Will you hear it? Will you benefit from it? More importantly, will you embrace it? I'll have more on Jeremiah, as well as a look at what may lie ahead according to Scripture. Actually, what does lie ahead according to Scripture, including the rapture. We just don't know the timing of some of these things. But I do thank you for joining me, and until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.